And this morning, I'd just like to share that forgiveness is not something you give or offer. Let's move forward there a bit, Jeremy. I want to move on to the second set there. It's not something you give or offer. If I have done Jessica, if I have done her wrong, I can't. She has to be able to grant forgiveness to me. Okay, she has to offer that forgiveness to me. It's her. That's what her responsibility. I cannot come and ask her for it. I cannot come and tell her she needs to give that forgiveness to me. And she cannot.
All the children.
Something to work at my house. I don't only time you have to forgive is when you get hurt. That's the only time you have to forgive. When you get hurt. And that's ouch. That's ouch. Now, some of the things that we understand about forgiveness is this. Jesus, in his deepest pain, while he hung on the cross, in his deepest pain, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do." There's none of us who hung on the cross. None of us was ever on the cross. And you know, the misunderstanding of forgiveness is this. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," he did not grant them eternal intimacy with God. He literally postponed their punishment, because the punishment at that time, from the Old Testament times, the touch even the Ark of the Covenant was instant death. Completely instant death. And that's what they deserve for crucifying God, is instant death. But when Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do," he was literally asking God to not lay this charge on them. Now, if they wanted eternal intimacy with God, they still needed to repent, and they still needed to accept Christ as a personal Savior. They were not saved, simply because he forgave them that very charge. That needs to be understood about forgiveness. Salvation only comes by repentance. Salvation is only, you can only accept by repentance. But Jesus forgave them and asked his Father to forgive them for the charge of killing, literally nailing God to the cross. That charge would not be laid to him. Now, the other thing about forgiveness is that in Matthew it talks about, if your brother has sinned against you, go and tell it to him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times 7 and he comes to you and repents, you're commanded to forgive him. Okay? That's the two differences of forgiveness that I have found, is that one is to reconcile your brother through forgiveness at that point when there's a sin like that in between you and your brother. But then there's also a forgiveness of sin that does not necessarily bring reconciliation. You are asking God not to allow that charge to be put to that person. That does not restore your relationship to that person. You can forgive in your heart without offering forgiveness to that person. In other words, you can forgive in your heart, and that charge can be dismissed. You're pleading with God that you're going to let them go. Now, hopefully, as we get through this here, that'll make a lot more sense. The good news is that forgiving keeps Satan from getting a foothold in your marriage, number one. If you're able to forgive, it keeps Satan from getting a foothold in your marriage. Have you ever seen someone that was so consumed with anger and hate that they couldn't even act rationally? They couldn't think rationally. Happens all the time. It happens when we are consumed by our hatred and our hurt. Them two things is what really consumes us, is our hatred and our hurt. Remember that only that, and when we hate someone or when we are hurt is the only time that we need to forgive. Period. And beware, because if we don't, Satan will outwit you. You are not big enough to think that you can stand against Satan himself. You won't do it. You won't do it by harboring any kind of bitterness or any kind of anger. Now, I would like to show the clip from Fireproof. And I want you to see one of the best apologies I've ever seen between a husband and a wife. And then I got some comments to make after that. So if we could have that clip. No. Thank you.
Dad asked me if there was anything in me that wanted to save our marriage. And then he gave me something. I could let you read it. How long have you known?
I found it yesterday. So what day are you on?
43.
He's only 40.
Who says I have to stop?
You notice something there. He didn't ask her for forgiveness. He literally confessed what he had done. And then he says he's hoping and he's praying that she would be able to find forgiveness. That she would be able to forgive him, but it's going to be up to her. It's nothing he can ask for. He cannot ask for it. He can only confess his wrong. That is the only thing he can do. He can confess what you've done wrong, but for the other person to forgive you, that's completely up to them. It is something that they hold that is up to them whether they want to give or not. It is not up to you. It is completely not up to you. It is not yours to be requested of. It is literally something the other person has to give. And as long as you have forgiven, now when you come to the cross, be assured that when you confess your sins, God is willing to forgive you. That automatically. I mean, when you come and you are willing to lay down your life at the foot of the cross, you confess your sins to God, He will forgive you. That's a given. But in people, it don't work that way. It does not work that way. Now, it's been said that Adam and Eve are the only two that ever had a perfect marriage. And one of the reasons is that Adam could never talk to his wife about how his mom did his cooking. And Eve could never tell Adam all the guys that she could have married. So they had a perfect marriage, and they're the only one. But anyway, just to go on with this topic of forgiveness, I would like us to turn to Matthew 18. And we're going to try and go through this quickly. Although I know we won't have to go home to eat lunch, so. Now, Jesus knew that this idea of forgiveness is very, very difficult. And he wrote a parable about it. And I want you to follow through with me, starting at verse 21. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?" And he asked a question. He said, "Up to seven times?" And I'm going to explain that later, why he did that. Now Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged." Notice he did not ask for forgiveness. He said, "Be patient with me." And he says, "And I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. That was the servant's to give. The king's to give, the servant's master. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. He said, "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "And this is how my Heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Now, I want to make 10 observations about this. And the first one is the number. And Peter was talking about the number. And he asked there at the beginning, he said, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother?" He says, up to 7 times. And he thought he was doing good. Back in the Jews of that day were taught to forgive your brother 3 times. If the 4th time he'd come back and they needed to forgive him, 3 times for defense. But after the 4th time, there was no forgiveness. None. That's how they were taught at that time. Now, Peter knows Jesus has a big heart of compassion. So he thought he will double the 3 and add that 1 to 4 times where you get forgiven, where you're not forgiven. So he says 7. And then Jesus says no. He says 77 times. And that was also from the Old Testament, but we're not going to go there. Which is an unlimited number. If you're going to sit down and try and keep track how many times you forgave somebody, one individual, and you count up to 77 times, you better see a head doctor. Something's wrong. Something's wrong right here. Because there's no way you can count 77 times to figure out how many times you forgave someone. It's just impossible. Now, when it comes to forgiveness, Jesus doesn't want any one of us to keep score. None of us. None of us are supposed to keep score. He just wants us to forgive and have a heart of forgiveness. Now, the word forgiveness comes from a word macrothumia, which means set aside your anger. It means to set aside your anger. When we forgive, we set aside our anger and give up our right, which, by the way, we don't have anyway. We don't have a right. We don't have any rights. If we are sold out to Jesus Christ, we have no rights. Now, if I grieve my wife, which I do several times, different times, do you think it's my right or reasoning to tell her she needs to forgive me? If I have done something to my wife, and this could be a petty thing to a big thing, do you think it's my right or reasoning to come to Karen and say, "You need to get over it. It's time you get over it and forgive me"? Do you know forgiveness cannot be earned? I cannot tell her to do it. I cannot ask her to do it. I cannot earn it from her. I cannot earn her forgiveness. Absolutely cannot be done. She can grant it. She can grant it. It's hers to grant. But I can't earn it. Now, I can earn her trust, and I can earn her respect, and I can earn her love, but I cannot earn her forgiveness. It cannot be earned. It is for her to give, grant. It's literally you think this servant was going to be able to earn forgiveness for the debt that he owed that king? And I'm going to put it in money terms today. Listen, that first thing there on 10,000 talents, I figured it out in today's pay. If you made $30,000 a year, that man owed $4.5 billion. $4.5 billion. That's how much he owed at $30,000 a year if he would make that income. Now, there is no way. How do you think that he could have earned forgiveness? Now, he couldn't have done it. The king granted it. All he asked for was patience. All he asked for was mercy. He just asked for that. That's all he asked for. Now it was up to the king whether or not he wanted to grant forgiveness. And he did. That's our God. The king is our God. He is willing to grant forgiveness. When we come to him, he is willing to grant that forgiveness. But, now, the other one was a talent, which equals 50. The talent equals that 15-year wage. That was $4.5 billion. Now I want to go to the king. Notice the king is willing to forgive an inconceivably large amount. Very large. Very large. How much do you think you would have to pay God for your sins? Any one of them. It's out of this world. You wouldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. Our sin is greater than that, and just one sin is greater than all that. All that. Again, forgiveness cannot be earned. It can only be granted by the one that you have wronged. It can only be granted by that. You cannot earn it. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you do it. You will not earn forgiveness. It cannot be done. The person that was wrong has to be able to grant. It's up to them to grant it. Just like when we wrong God, it is completely up to God to grant that forgiveness to you and I. He did that when his son died on the cross, by the way. So we can be assured of that. But in amongst people, it is a much different story. Now, one denarius equals one day's wage, which if this servant that he went out and he tried to strangle, the amount of that pay, what he owed him, was equivalent to today's pay. If they would have made $30,000 a year, it would have been equivalent to $15,000. That's what he owed. $15,000. Now, he owed his king $4.5 billion. But then he turned around to someone else that owed him $15,000, and he threw him in prison until he came back because he was so angry with him. How is it in our lives? How is it between us? Have you been forgiven? How much are you willing to forgive your spouse, your friend, your neighbor, whoever it may be? How much are you willing to forgive them? Have you made your reservation in heaven? Have you calling an election sure at the foot of the cross? If you have you then forgiven everyone that owes you? Have you forgiven them? My Bible says if you haven't, you are not forgiven. Period. You are not forgiven. Have you granted release, pardon, forgiveness to those that have wronged you or owe you? Ask yourself that question. Are you holding someone in bondage to a debt they owe you? And I'm going to share briefly a testimony I have of my own about that. One thing about it is the king is much more angry. I want you to understand this. He is much more angry about the servant's lack of forgiveness for a fellow servant than about the sin against the king himself. And that's how God is with you and I. He is much more ticked off about you not being willing to forgive someone else and holding someone else in bondage than about your sin that you have done committed against him. Now, if you have come to the foot of the cross, and I'm going to say it again, and you have confessed your sins, Jesus' blood is suffice to take all your sins away, and he can be forgiven. And he grants that forgiveness to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. I want you to know that. I want to make sure that is very clear at the foot of the cross. But from there, you go out to someone else and you tell them that you have owed me. And you owe me this, you owe me that, you owe me that. The king, in return, is going to cast you to the corner until you pay back all that you owe. If you're not willing to forgive someone that owes you. can say about that is may God have mercy on your soul. That's all I can say about it. It is a very serious thing to fall. He will not continue to grant you your forgiveness. Now, those who have been forgiven must forgive. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus instructs us that. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We ask Him in the Lord's Prayer to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And if you pray that, that's very serious. Now, I'm going to keep on going here. Now, a servant has a man who owes him a much smaller amount. This man fell on his knees, and I want to just tell you this. Just as you, when you came to the foot of the cross, fell on your knees, and you confessed your sin before God. And Jesus' blood is suffice to take all your sins away and offer you forgiveness and eternal life. If someone has come to you and asked for forgiveness, and you are not willing to offer it, I'm talking to a spouse or a friend, it doesn't matter who it is, and you will not grant forgiveness to that person by freeing them from what they owe you. That's forgiveness, by the way. Freeing them from what they owe you. And you might even say this morning, you know what? It's the law. And I got a testimony that I'm going to share in a bit about that. It's the law. They owe me. Are you willing to set aside your anger to someone that owes you? Because God set aside His anger for you. Are you willing to set aside your anger for someone that owes you? Because God is coming after you. Now, this was right after I got saved. I had a spouting. Pennsylvania, and I know that's not a southern term, but that's the way we did it up there. So it was a spouting business. And I got saved in February 2002. That next winter, the business that I had, and I pushed it. I mean, that was my life. That's all I did. I pushed that thing so hard. And God wanted to finally test me one day. That very fall, I also got really slow. I had no work. And I took on 2 remodel jobs to remodel these people's houses. Complete exterior remodeling. And the one couple that I did this for, I had a signed contract and everything. And I thought, this is great. These 2 jobs will carry me completely through the winter. The one job, when I got finished with that job, during the time that they would have owed me the bill for that job, the husband left with another woman. And that lady came to me and said, she couldn't pay. You know, I knew if I would have that money, I could pay all my bills. I had it all figured out. I had all my debts here. I had everything that was coming in here. It was equal. I couldn't pay my bills. It was a rather large sum. The other job that I took on that same winter, the same thing happened. The man come to me after he lost his business through that winter. And he come to me and he said the same thing. And I kept thinking about, when we have that money, I can pay my bills. My bills. It's all about me. And I did everything. I sent them notices. This is your final notice. I sent them threats that I'll take them to court. I sent them all kinds of things that they needed to pay because it's the law. I signed it right here. And one morning I woke up early. And that was really early. I got down to my desk and it was like God spoke to me just right there. forgiven. He said, Dwayne, you need to forgive him. They're dead. And I said, that's not even logical. I have signed a contract deal, but it's not logical. And it was just constantly, constantly, constantly. I started praying, and you know what? I couldn't get away from it. He says, you need to forgive them. They're dead. I said, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to do it? If I forgive them that debt, I will never be able to pay my bills. I finally, after much wrestling with God that morning, I sat down at my desk and I hand wrote two letters. Forgiving them. I simply say this to say this. That business came out of the red and boom. Big time, in 4 months' time. 4 months' time, and it was only God. It was nothing, there was no way that I could see how it was going to happen on paper. No way. It just was not going to happen on paper. And you know, I got so excited after all this was going on, and when I realized that I forgave them, and when I wrote them letters of forgiveness, I wrote on there that I forgive them their debt. Both of them. Simply because, and I wrote what Jesus done for me, I wrote it as clear as day. He forgave me all my debt. I want to forgive you your debt. And please, don't think you have to pay it back sometime down the road. It is completely canceled. There's no, you don't know a thing. How is it in your relationships? How is it? Who are you holding in bondage by not granting forgiveness? How is it with your spouse? Do you keep score? Do you keep score of what's going on in your relationship? You cannot hold someone else to the grindstone and expect God to forgive you. That's God's word. He tells that very clearly. You cannot do it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, and I just want to affirm this one more time, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God will do that. God grants us forgiveness every day when we are willing to grant forgiveness to others. So, why should we grant forgiveness? Number one, it's because of Satan. I don't want him to have a foothold in my marriage. I don't want him to have a foothold in my life. Period. I don't want him to have a foothold there. That's why we need to grant forgiveness. When I harbor anger and bitterness, it creates a weakness in my soul, in my spirit, and in my body for Satan to get it from me. And he will do it. You're not big enough. No one is big enough. No one is big enough to keep him from getting it from me if you're not willing to forgive. Because if you're not willing to forgive, God is not forgiving you. And guess what? Satan's right there. Guaranteed. He will not wait a minute. The second reason is me. I want peace in my life, not bitterness. Do you want peace in your life? You know, the third reason is why we should grant forgiveness is you and I are not perfect. And I would venture to say that if I would split the church right here in the middle and say on this side over here, we're going to have all those who have never hurt someone sit over here. And all those that have hurt someone sit over here. I want you to think about which side would you sit on? Which side would you be sitting on? We all need forgiveness, do we not? We've all been forgiven. We've all been hurt somewhere, somehow, and we need forgiveness. Each and every one of us. So if we need forgiveness, who in our lives do we need to forgive? It works that same way. We can't expect to be forgiven and not forgive. How can we withhold from our spouse or our friends or our church that which we hope to get when we get to glory? How can we hold back from them that which we hope to get when we get to eternal, when we get to heaven? The fourth reason that we need to forgive, that we should grant forgiveness, is Christ forgave you. You know, when he sat on the cross there, he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. He cried out and said, it is finished. And them words, by the way, just mean literally, it is paid in full. It is paid in full. And Christ is the only one that can do that when it comes to forgiveness. He can pay your debt. Because we are indebted to him. If someone else would pay your debt, the person that committed the sin would be only indebted to the next person. That's all it does. It just transfers who you're indebted to. Only Christ can pay that debt. Jesus knew he was going to be the one to forgive your untable debt by saying it is finished. Now's the big question. How do I forgive? How do I forgive? That's the biggest question people ask. And I want to just say this morning, if you wait till you feel like it, it will never happen. It will never happen. You wait till you feel like it, it's not going to happen. Being hurt is an emotional event, and emotions do not heal by themselves. It will not happen. They heal with the help of your will. You got to, first of all, make the decision in your heart or in your will to forgive, and your life will follow. If you can make that decision first, your life will follow. You can make the decision to say, I forgive. And that's the second one. Say the words. Say the words. I forgive you. At least say them to yourself. At least say them to yourself. At least start right there. Just say them to yourself. If there is someone that you're holding in bondage that you're angry with yet, say it to yourself. Say it to yourself. You don't have to go tell that person at this point. Just say it to yourself. I forgive you. It starts with your will. Your feelings will follow. And then, again, when you forgive, forgive. Don't hang on to it. Forgive. Let it go. If you're going to forgive, you've got to let it go. Now, I want to go one more thing, is forgiveness, again, must be granted. Forgiveness must be granted. It cannot be earned. Trust cannot be granted. It must be earned, okay? In a married relationship, forgiveness is granted, okay? It cannot be earned. But trust cannot be granted. It wouldn't do anybody any good. If somebody has hurt you, you can forgive them. But to trust them at that point would be foolish. Literally, foolish. Foolish. You've heard the old saying of old, it says, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Shame on me. Now, why I'm saying that is that you can forgive, you can still forgive that person in your heart. When somebody establishes a pattern of untrustworthy behavior, you cannot trust them. It would not make any sense. So when a repeat offender begs for mercy, you grant forgiveness, okay? If they want to restore the relationship, then you set up a system by which they can prove they truly have changed. Got it? They can prove that they truly have changed. See, forgiveness does not have nothing to do. We always have this thing where you're saying, you forgive and forget. It's not going to happen. You know, I've heard sayings and quote little scripts from people saying that God forgives and forgets. Well, we are going to be judged for every action and deed. And if them deeds are not under the blood, we will be judged for them. By the way, he does not forget. One place in Jeremiah, there was, he stated that he would forget that sin, which he is saying he would cancel it. But he does not forget. Okay? Neither do we. We do not forget. We can forgive, but we are not going to forget. Now, again, forgiveness must be granted. No one can earn it. Trust must be earned. Granting it would do no one any favors. I want to read a little script here from a little script from C.S. Lewis about forgiveness. He said, last week, while in prayer, I suddenly discovered or felt as if I did that I had forgiven someone I have been trying to forgive for over 30 years. Trying and praying that I might be able to forgive. When all of a sudden it actually happened. My feeling was, it's so easy. Why didn't I do it ages ago? And you know, this morning I want that for you. You want that for you. God wants that for you. So today we want to start on macrothumia, which means to set aside your anger and forgive as the Lord forgave you. Will you do that? Will you do that this morning? I have a little story I want to read now about forgiveness. And it won't take long. I'll dismiss you in a bit. In closing, I want you to think about this. This lady that this is talking about had been abused by her father. And I want you to think, as I read this, who has hurt you? Who is that hurt you? And I got a question for you. I run a great risk of being misunderstood. I am not arguing that the abused victim, the person who has been betrayed by an unfaithful spouse, or an employee who has been let go 2 months before retirement, ought to warmly invite the betrayer over for a nice meal and a pleasant discussion. Before any action or plan of forgiveness is considered, we must first and foremost see if our hearts want the inner ache, first of all in ourselves, and then in the other person, and then in God, to be bound up and healed. Or do we only want the quick thrill of immediate vengeance and our hurt to go away? Do we only want it for ourselves? I counsel a woman who had been barbariously and ritualistically abused by her father and mother. After many months of work, she began to explore her feelings toward her father. At one point, she asserted that she would and could never forgive her father for his evil cruelty. And I asked her this question: what would you do if God gave you the choice between pushing a button on your left, which when touched would utterly destroy your father at this minute, or a button on the right, which would lead to radical, deep repentance and the kind of change that would make him the father God, make him the person the Father God intended him to be? And she sat stunned for a long time. Her shock turned to silent, teary rage. She glared at me for almost 20 minutes, and after what felt like an eternity, she said, "You have put me in a terrible bind." And I agreed. Her next words were startling. She said, "If I push the button on the left, then I'm saying I'm as evil as he is. But if I push the button on the right, then I'm admitting I really want him to be my father. And I am far more afraid of allowing my heart to feel desire and longing than I am of doing evil." She had spent most of her life killing the desire for her dad to be her true father. The idea of pushing the button on the right with its implications was far more terrifying than pushing the button on the left. Let's put them up there for a minute. Now, the button on the left is, I want to utterly destroy, and whoever that is that you have in your life that has hurt you, I want you to think about that. If you would have the choice to push the button on the left or the button on the right, and the one on the right is, I really want whoever that person is to be my spouse, father, mother, or friend. Who do you feel in your life owes you? Who do you feel has hurt you that they owe you? Which button would you push? Now put the next two up. Because the one on the left, you're sending them straight to hell. That's your judgment on them. And the one on the right is that you want them to be restored with the Heavenly Father. That you want them to be restored with God. That's a choice that you have to decide. And that is hard. It shouldn't be hard when you see it that way. You want a mother to be destroyed? Do you want the worst for them? Want the best for you? Do you really want them to be restored to God? The love dare challenge so far has been something you've done at home, but the feeling is getting something good right here. It can at least begun to be accomplished right here. So I want you all to stand for a minute. I want everybody to take their right hand and put it up in the air and clench it in a fist, literally. Now I want you to think of that one person that you can't set free. And I want you to really think about it. You got them right here in your grip. Who is it? And I want you to say, I just want you to grip your fist as hard as you can. That lack of forgiveness is what you're clutching right now. Right now. And as you open your hand this morning, I want you to say this. I just want you to say these words.